Before we begin, let us go to the God the Father in prayer, ask for His blessing on this time, that we have the right mental attitude, the right volition, and the correct motivation in order to study His Word. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day that You have given to us. Allow us to gather together as believer priests to study Thy Word, to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may continue on to maturity, pressing forward to those, to that prize, that calling which You have called us to. Heavenly Father, as the Word goes out, may it go out strong, courageous, neither turning to the left or the right, that Your Son might be glorified, in turn glorifying You. In Jesus' name, amen. We're up to the phrase, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul is stating that his head is Jesus Christ. This is concerning his authority. Paul knew whom his authority came from, while God the Father pointed him. He was then given over to his head, Christ Jesus. God the Father developed the plan. God the Son carries out the plan. God the Spirit empowers the plan. Each one has a ministry. Each one has a particular function. And God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in humility, submitted themselves to God the Father's plan. Paul submitted himself to his head, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 10, gives us the outline that Paul was there to preach the gospel under the authority of apostleship, being a prisoner of Christ Jesus. His ministry was to the Gentiles. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, and how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of man, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to His holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs in the same body, partakers of His promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. His promises is God the Father, which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of His power. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all see what is fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Christ, Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. The church age has a role in the angelic conflict to make known the wisdom of God. The word apostle means an ambassador, one who is sent, a delegated authority. Apostle was had delegated authority from the Lord Jesus Christ to act as His representative here on earth. In classical Greek times, the word was used for high-ranking naval officers. It was a military term, a term of authority. It carries over the church age. I'm sorry, the church dispensation. The office of apostle was one of the temporary gifts. There are no longer apostles walking the earth. 70 AD, the office and gift ceased. There was two groups of ministries. There was one to the Jews, which Peter fulfilled, and one to the Gentiles, which was given over to Paul. These were temporary gifts. These were ministries to establish local assemblies. The closest thing that we have today that you could take an inference on apostleship is not the authority of the apostle, but the ideal of a missionary. One that goes out and trains local citizens in the Word of God, discovers ones that have the gift of pastor-teacher, trains them unto the Word, and sets them up in a local church. He doesn't have the authority of an apostle, but he does kind of represent setting up the local churches. In the early church, apostles were the highest ranked officers. Their authority was the highest during this time. They had immediate authority. Peter was an example when the couple in Acts lied. And Peter asked them, why did you lie? And they died to send them to death immediately. It showed their authority. It established their authority. They were able to work miracles, which established their authority. As we get closer to 70 AD, we see the miracles being less and less and less. In fact, towards the end of Paul's ministry, he left one of his men sick. And he was asking for a prayer by the believers for that man because the gift of healing was on its way out, which is another one of the temporary gifts. Apostles of Jesus Christ were appointed by God the Father for the purpose of establishing churches and spreading the new truth. The apostles taught doctrines that were not known previously. That's why they're referred to as the mystery doctrines. This is something that the prophets studied the Word of God carefully, trying to find. It was held from them. The closest we have is the ministry of Daniel, where the Lord tells Daniel, that's enough. You can't see these things. It was withheld from him. They were, God the Father in His plan gave the gift of apostle in order to lay out the ideal of establishing the doctrines of grace. Because we are also called the dispensation of grace. The apostle was a spiritual gift given by God. It is both an office and a gift. In order to be an apostle, you have to have the gift. But in order for that gift to be recognized, you have to have the office. Such as the modern example would be a pastor-teacher that has a gift of pastor-teacher, but yet not operating in the office, not operating as a shepherd of a local assembly. The office of apostles was established in order for the authority to act and function as an apostle. There had to be something set up that gave a person the authority to act as an apostle. Each apostle had his own responsibilities. The examples are Paul to the Gentiles and Peter to the Jews. We see that in Galatians 2:8. That there was a responsibility. God the Father gave each and every apostle their responsibilities, their focus. Paul was a super patriot for the Jewish movement. And he kept on falling back to that Jewish mindset of going to the Jews first, going to the synagogues. The Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ set him aside to ministry to the Gentiles, to kings, and then to the Jews. He had it reversed. But God in His grace allowed him to minister, and he's recorded as one of the greatest Christians. When Christ ascended to heaven, He gave gifts to man. The gift of apostle, the gift of pastor teacher, the gift of giving, any of the spiritual gifts given to believers is not based on who and what you are. It's based on the sovereign choice of God. You do not choose, well, I want the spiritual gift of this. You don't choose it. It is already chosen for you. And you operate in it. So therefore, in spirituality, in operating in the Christian walk, God supplies you the information, the wisdom, and the ability to operate within your gift. The Holy Spirit empowers spiritual gifts, and in the aspect of apostles, the Holy Spirit imparted the gift on the day of Pentecost. On the part of the apostles, we're not talking about the apostles of the age of Israel. It's a different office. That office ceased on the day of Pentecost. A new office of apostleship started the day of Pentecost. It was the apostleship to the dispensation of the church. The development of a new species. Believers in Christ in the church dispensation are a new species. The middle wall of perdition has been broken down between Jew and Gentile. Apostleship, it was a new office. And it was to train believers in the doctrines of the church dispensation. We see that in 1 Corinthians 12:11 and Acts 2. By God the Father's sovereign decision, the will of God decreed the gift and office to apostles. He decreed it. He decreed it. It was part of His plan to have the gift of apostles. Have a select few chosen men to go out there and establish local churches. Somebody with the responsibility to go out there and train the local pastor and set them up in a local assembly. We see that in 1 Corinthians 1:1, 1 Corinthians 12:11, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1. The apostles had to be a witness to the resurrected Christ. You cannot have the gift of apostle and the gift of apostle or the office apostle unless you were a witness to the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. This was part of their authority, the imparted authority. We know Paul was, because Paul was trained by the Lord Jesus Christ for 3 years in the desert. So we have that confidence that he was. There are books I have studied that says that Timothy was apostle. There's nowhere in the Word of God that tells that Timothy was a witness to the resurrected Christ. He may have been, but I can't dogmatically say that. The same with Titus. Titus was a Gentile. But was he a witness to the resurrected Christ for the ministry of apostleship? No, these were pastor teachers, local pastor teachers. Apostles were called and separated unto the Lord. They had a job to do. Lord Jesus Christ is their head. Their authority comes directly from the Lord. And they had a particular job to do, and they were set apart for that. In Paul's case, he was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles from Romans 11:13. Apostles were of Jesus Christ through the will of God the Father. 1 Corinthians 1:1, 2 Corinthians 1:1, Ephesians 1:1, Colossians 1:1. all the introductions of Paul given in his apostleship, stating the fact that he's the apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God the Father. Paul gives us the rule of the previous point that apostles had to see the resurrected Christ from 1 Corinthians 9:1. God gives a principle that it does not matter who you were before. What matters now is His calling and you taking it. Every believer has a calling. Every believer has the volitional responsibility to make the decision to that calling. You can reject it. You can buck it. You can do everything else but your calling. Now, the repercussions? Yeah, there's repercussions for not following the will of God. The repercussions. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are not bullies. You make the volitional decision. That's why Paul uses the word bondservant. It is a person who voluntarily places himself into service. He uses the term bondservant, and then he uses the word apostle. He doesn't say apostle first and then bondservant. He sets up the principles of humility first, and then he sets up the authority. When you take your calling, when you do what you are supposed to be doing, when you're obeying the Word of God, when you are following God's commandments and mandates, you are neither turning to the left or the right. Whatever you do, you will prosper. That's spiritual prosperity. And it's based on God promotes. And if God promotes you, no man can take that away. 2 Corinthians 11:5-7. It was God who promoted Paul to the office of apostle. It was God who gave Paul the gift of apostle. No matter how the Jewish legalizers, no matter how the false teachers, no matter how the false apostles pushed it, they can't change the fact that Paul was an apostle. God gave apostles the ability to do miracles for His work. This was a sign of the apostles' authority. 2 Corinthians 12:12, Acts 2:42-43. We know that Paul's ability to do miracles became less and less towards the more and more completion of the Word of God. By the time 70 AD came, when Titus the Roman ransacked Jerusalem, we know the temporary gifts ceased. That includes healing. That includes tongues. That includes prophecy. That includes apostleship. The temporary gifts ceased. The Word of God is near complete. Or by the time of 70 AD, the Word of God is at such a completion that what is perfect has come. There's no need for the temporary gifts anymore. The power of the apostles come from God and not man. From Galatians 1:1. Paul had to go up there and tell the Galatians, my authority is not from man. I didn't get my apostleship from Sears. I didn't go on the internet and get some website and get my ordination papers from some ordination factory. Got it from God. His authority is from God. And he's going to stand fast. He's going to stand strong for the things of God. He's going to obey God first. He's going to stand for the higher principles. He's going to stand alone. He's not alone, because he had something that non-believers don't have. He has something that each one of us have, and that's the indwelling of the triune God inside Being an apostle is a commandment from God, from 1 Timothy 1:1. The apostles were to give the word of God. They were to complete the scriptures, to expose the mysteries, to teach and lay out the word of God. Reveal the mystery. The promise of life in Christ Jesus was the message of the apostles. 2 Timothy 1:1. Paul also in 1 Corinthians was very clear when he said, if I know nothing else but Christ is crucified. He was going to preach the gospel no matter what. Apostle is appointed from 2 Timothy 1:7. During the early church, the apostle was the highest authority on earth. But there is authority higher than that of the apostle. The authority that is on earth and in heaven and is our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 1:1, 1 Peter 1:1, and 2 Peter 1:1. Christ is considered our apostle and high priest. From Hebrews 3:1. Christ chose His apostles. He chose His apostles according to the will of God the Father. Luke 6:13. The apostles were persecuted for the name of our Lord. And man, they were warned. They were told, you're going to suffer. And they gladly bore it. Apostles had to be taught by Christ after His resurrection from Acts 1, verses 1 through 8. Apostles were given power to do miracles, Hebrews 2:4, 2 Corinthians 12:12. The apostles had great success in evangelism. And when Peter got up there and prayed and preached the gospel, thousands were saved. They built the body of Christ both day and night, adding to it greatly. Phenomenal successes in evangelism. The closest thing I could say that compares to that is when men like Billy Sunday and those were evangelizing this country. When this country had maximum positive volition to the Word of God and thousands of people were saved, added to the body of Christ. And that's something that each and every one of us need to be praying for this country. Every day, we need to be praying for evangelism. For evangelistic wave across this country that would rival the 1800s. Because this country, if it doesn't turn itself around back to Christ, this country is going to cease to exist. God's going to snuff out our candle. We need to be praying for this country every day. And we need to pray that there will be the positive volition pre-established in this country. That believers take a stand. And when they take a stand, that they are not portrayed as kooks. Or they're not ignored. I don't know how many of you saw that email from that lieutenant or the colonel in Iraq. What a wonderful testimony. Man standing firm for the word. He's asking for our prayers. Not all the Iraqis hate us. Just a few of them. We need to be praying for those men also. The apostles had to be taught by Christ after His resurrection. Sorry, I backed up quite a bit. The apostles suffered greatly for the Lord. Paul gives a list of sufferings he went through. I've been shipwrecked 3 times. I've been beaten 40 times, save one. With 40 lashes, save one. He had his back laid open and salt poured into it and thrown into a dungeon. He suffered greatly. And what were they doing? They were singing They were praising God. I often wonder how I would stand up under that type of persecution, that type of suffering. They have my back laid wide open, pour salt into it, and put into a rat-infested, dirty, filthy prison. Would I have the faith to stand true for my Lord and be able to worship and sing praises in that time? Would I have the faith of Daniel saying, God's going to deliver me? And if he doesn't, I'm going to be faithful all the way to death. Something I consider quite often. This is a testimony, example for each and every believer. These men had faith. Paul had faith all the way to his beheading. A witness for Christ. And little do we realize that when Christians were thrown in prison in Rome, when other Christians would come and visit them, the risk that these men were taking, these men and women, in order to maintain that fellowship of the body, that unity of the body. Many of them died for that. But they maintained that witness unto death. I think in this country we've gotten lazy. Oh, I can witness tomorrow. I don't have to witness today. Read the Bible tomorrow. I don't need to do it today. I got a football game I have to watch. I got this to do or that to do. Do it tomorrow. But if we think about those that are in China, North Korea, that under the risk of death, they gather together to worship God. Now, if I think of the name of the country, Pakistan. Those people gather in the open to worship God, and they die for it. Two churches over there have been hand grenade, killing Christians. But they do it openly. They didn't put off tomorrow. I can read my Bible tomorrow. They didn't put off witnessing tomorrow. They did what was set in front of them. They did it at that time. Apostles suffered greatly for the Lord. The apostles' job was to give the Word of God. And I know I've repeated that over and over, but it is so important. It is our job as believers to live the Word of God, to freely give it out. We got salvation so freely. We have a responsibility to freely give it out. Apostles had great effect in their teaching and giving of the gospel. They built the body of Christ at a phenomenal rate. They edified the saints. They taught for the work of service, for the unity of the body. Apostles taught new believers Bible doctrine, 1 Thessalonians 1:5 through 2:12. Apostles were given by God the authority to administer discipline to believers. Acts 5:1 through 10, that was probably the passage I was thinking, if you all turn to Acts 5. Yes, it was. But a certain named Ananias, with Sapphira, his wife, sold the possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? The guy was making a show. He saw everybody else doing it, and he wanted to join the crowd. But he wanted a little he kept back for himself. It wasn't that he was lying to Peter. He was making a show. He was lying to the Holy Spirit. And keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. while it remained, was it not your own? It was your land. You could do as you want with it. And after it was sold, was it not in your control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these things, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all of those who heard these things. Excuse me. Authority had to be established. Quick and precise discipline had to occur. Because if these things did not, if this lie was allowed to continue, it would cause corruption in a newly formed body. It would cause a cancer. It could not go on. The sin and the death happened very quickly. As a church goes on, and in the time that we are in, a person might live a long time in the sin and the death. Is for our learning and our example. Just as when the sin and death happened at a very quick rate, God removed someone who lied to God immediately to establish that respect for the authority of the apostle. God allows the sin and death believer to maintain life here on earth for our example, so that we may learn from them what not to do. As you see, there's another section on apostles, which is pretty much a copy of the first section. These are from three different studies, and I felt it necessary to include all three of them. Each one is a good study. Each one of them is valuable. But I do want to go through the qualifications, credentials, functions of the apostle. The qualifications. An apostle, without saying, had to have the gift of apostleship. The gift was provided by the Lord Jesus Christ after His ascension into heaven. The gift was imparted by the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. The apostles received this gift and office by the sovereign decision of God the Father. And the apostle had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Lord. That's their qualifications. There's no ands, ifs, and buts about it. Their credentials. Apostles were endowed with miraculous powers of miracles. Apostles had a success in evangelism. The apostles had the capacity to suffer patiently. The function. They received and communicated new revelation. They communicated the gospel effectively, and people accepted Christ in responding to their messages. The apostles trained new believers in doctrine. And the apostles had the authority to administer discipline to the believers. They had the right, but not all the time did they use it. They used encouragement. They used rebuke. They used building up. They used love. Paul was perfectly clear that if his rebuke was not done in love, it does not edify. Just as our Lord, just as God the Father disciplines us when we get out of line, it proves we are His Son. It proves we're members of the family. Because if you're not disciplined, you're not a member of the family. There was apostleship to the Israel before the ascension of Christ, and there's apostles in the church age. There's two different functions. And I'll go as far as say they're two different offices. If you turn to your page 26, I want to pick up the study I wanted to get to tonight. And it's according to the faith, to further the faith. Paul's a bondservant, Paul's an apostle, to further the faith, to give out the Word of God, to build you up in faith. You build up faith, you build up in hope, and you reach the sphere where you operate in love, where you're no longer operating as a spoiled brat looking for your own means or your own wants. You're operating in love, being a servant to others, operating Christian service unto the Lord for the glory of Lord Jesus Christ. This phrase is from the Greek kata pistis. Kata means according to, or such as, according to a norm and standard. Pistu is from the word pistis, which is assurance, faith. Faith is the assurance of things not seen. Salvation of the saved. We are saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ by what He did on the cross. And our salvation is based upon the work of Christ, nothing that we did. When we have faith, when we have the faith to get saved, it'd take an electron microscope to see it. And how can a person get saved if they don't have that type of faith to get saved? Because that person is on positive volition to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit supplies the power needed to empower your faith unto salvation. As you grow in Christ, you faithfully take in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit empowers your faith to take in the Word of God, to cycle it. The Holy Spirit empowers you to use the Word of God on a daily basis in your life, to make that Word at work in your life. Makes it effectual. We are saved, so according to the faith of salvation. Paul had a responsibility to those believers due to the office and gift that Christ gave him through the Holy Spirit. These are believers. He had a responsibility. A pastor-teacher today has a responsibility to teach the Word of God. That's his job. If he's not doing it, he's not doing his job. There are exceptions, such as health, certain aspects of retirement, where a pastor teacher is no longer standing behind the pulpit or operating within his office. But he's still a pastor teacher. He still has the gift. He still ministers. And a perfect example is Mr. Carnegie. In the ministry that he had here while he was still alive. He was not operating in the office of pastor teacher, but he was still operating in his gift. He was still ministering. And what a phenomenal blessing it was. This phase again is tied to our own responsibilities to fellow believers. So the Bible is very clear, is to build your salvation. But it goes on further than that. It's to build upon your salvation. To advance further beyond the basic principles, yes, I know I'm saved. To get to the meat of the Word. And to come alongside each and every believer and build them up. We all have a responsibility for each other. We're all members of the same body. We all do not have the same ministry. But we have the responsibility to each other, to lift each other up, not to tear each other down, not to present a stumbling block to other believers, but to lift each other up, to come alongside them. We use faith in order to learn Bible doctrine. and putting that Bible doctrine to work for the glory of the Father. Everything we do it for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says if we're glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, we're also glorifying the Father. What a phenomenal privilege. We have no right to do anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. But in grace, that Godhead works through us and does His great plan. God the Father accomplishes His good pleasure through us. And in turn, for us being the tool, He rewards us. Everything that we do in the Spirit glorifies the Father. From John 14:13, John 17:4, and John 15:8. And let's go ahead and turn to John 14:13. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If it glorifies the Father, the Son is more than happy to do it. We are saved unto good works. In John 17:4, it reads, I have glorified you on the earth. This is the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I've glorified the Father. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. What a phenomenal thing for a believer to say. I've done the work that you've laid in front of me. I have glorified the Son. In turn, I've glorified the Father. I have ran the race. I fought the fight. I didn't get off the playing field and sat in the stands and became an observer. I did not become a casualty. I used the power that was given to me. I wielded the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. I made it real. I lived it. I hid it in my heart. And be able to say that and go home. Paul said it. And it is a phenomenal grace gift that God the Father gives every believer who stays faithful to the end. Is that ability. And I did what I was supposed to do. I'm ready to go home. Faith is a basic doctrine for believers to approach the Word of God. For without faith, you cannot be pleasing to God. By faith, Enoch was removed not to see death, and was not found because God removed him. For before his removal, he had obtained witness to have been well-pleasing to God. But without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to God. For it behooves the one approaching to God to believe that He is and becomes a rewarder to the one seeking out Him. For without faith, there is no way we can please God. Your operation in the Christian way of life has to be done by faith. Your ministry unto the Father, your ministry unto the Lord, through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, has to be done through faith. Because what is not of faith is sin. Hebrews 11:1 gives us a clear definition of faith. Turn your Bibles to Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. is a substance of things hoped for. Man, I hope I'm saved. It's the assurance. I know I'm saved. And I'm learning the Word of God for the show of evidence. The evidence of things not seen. The Christian way of life is the evidence to the non-believer that there is a God. Now faith. Pistis is faith. And pistuvo is to believe. So we have the principle that God has given to us. That is, faith is closely tied to believe. We are to believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us it's the Word of God. Because in John 1:1 it says, the Word of God was with God, and the Word of God was God. And the Word of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get to the phrase, the acknowledgement or the knowledge of the truth, when you take that word and you follow it through the New Testament, lo and behold, guess who the truth is? The Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll see that when we get to that, well, when we get to that part. The word pistis, faith, is a non-meritorious system of thinking or perception. It is the basic system of thinking of the human race. In human terms, there are certain things that you take by faith. A child, his vocabulary is given to him by faith. It's a very basic system. In fact, in science, man, there's a lot of faith for those that follow evolution. It takes a lot more faith than the faith that God created all things. Your mathematical ability is based on faith. Often your geographical knowledge is based on faith. I've never been to Australia, but I know it's there. Never been to Antarctica. I know it's there. I have faith it's there. I know it's there. I believe it is there with assurance. Many Christians had a hard time in realizing that faith is a system of thinking. They will make a statement saying, what about head and heart belief? They have a hard... It's hard for them to think in the concepts of faith. They'll start going into this head and heart. But he wasn't really saved because he only had head knowledge. Oh, he's got to be saved because look, he's got heart knowledge. No. The whole system is faith. Faith is taking in the Word of God, which is cycling in, which is the gnosis, which is the knowledge. And then you, by faith, you exercise the Word of God in your life, which becomes epignosis, which is experiential knowledge, the expression of faith. In the Bible, there is no distinctions between head belief and heart belief. The word heart in the Bible is not emphasizing the heart pump, the biological organ. It is emphasizing a system of perception, a system of thinking. And I already went through these steps. There's a head knowledge. The Bible calls it gnosis. In other words, just plain knowledge. Knowledge that you've taken in, the Word of God that you have taken in, but you have not experienced it yet. A pressure situation, a system of suffering, a trial, a tribulation, a persecution has not arisen yet, where you can take that piece of Bible doctrine that you have learned and put it to experience. Or it may be Bible doctrine that you haven't that you have taken in that you have not fully understood. It doesn't fully make sense to you. So you put it on the back burner. You learn more Bible doctrine until the spaces are filled in. When the spaces are filled in, then you can put that Bible doctrine in use. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit and a pressure situation arises, the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance a principle from the Word of God, a doctrine, a verse. Bring it to remembrance and you use it in that situation. Then it becomes experiential. But there is a believed knowledge, and that is epignosis. Gnosis knowledge is a knowledge that a believer has built up and not used. This knowledge is just sitting there doing nothing, which after a while, that knowledge will be lost. I don't argue that point, because that's my point. If you don't use it, you lose it. But there is a principle of grace of God that if you pull it out of the cobwebs, you muse upon it, God will bring it back and make it part of your life. How can I make that statement? From Psalms 119. A young man that neglected the Word of God, but when he was taken into captivity, he pulled what was in the cobwebs out and he meditated on it. He took what was left and meditated on it. That's the grace of God that allows us. Epignosis is knowledge that the believer has put into use, building his edification complex. Your temple, your building. Filling it up with the knowledge of grace and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bringing glory to the Father in Christ, we become pleasing to God. Epignosis, our use knowledge, is where James 1, 22-25 talks about being doers of the Word. Taking the Word of God and doing it. And here is where I want to stop. Pick it up next week. The principle is that through faith, you live the Christian way of life. By faith, you operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit empowers your faith. It takes you right out of the picture. It takes your abilities, your human abilities, out of the picture. You are strengthened in your weakness because it is God who strengthens you. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time of study. And dear Father, as we learn thy word, as we increase in knowledge, as we build ourselves up in faith through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as we take in the principles of your word, that we may live the Christian way of life, that we may operate as the salt and light through the power that you have given to us, that we may submit ourselves to your authority, that we will live our lives an example to those around us, that we will be the witness, ambassadors, members of a royal family, and royal priesthood. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.